for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Midwinter Camp Meeting, being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Wednesday morning, December the 26th, 2001. Mildred Coffey of Millington, Tennessee, is the speaker of the morning.
You know, two of my sons work in, one of them runs a mission and the other one works with him. And one thing those people in the mission do, they pick up quickly religious stuff, you know. When they come in, the people, men off the streets, these are all men, and they learn to speak, I call it mission language. You say, the Lord is good, he'll say all the time, every one of them will say that. And I say, but is he good to you? And you know, they know the way to, they learn the words without knowing the meaning of the words, is what I'm trying to say. And we have to be real careful that we don't do that. I was praying yesterday morning when I, well, last night, yesterday afternoon when I was home, I was up at the house, and I was really tired, and I said, Lord, I don't know what you want me to teach. And he wouldn't let me get off of this, so I'm going to share this morning on unforgiveness. When you talk to people about forgiving, they say, oh, I did, I have, you know, I've forgiven everybody everything. And I have a friend right now that my heart is just breaking because of unforgiveness. And they tell me they've forgiven, but I know they haven't. So how do you know? Just listen. And so God is saying to us, we need to forgive. And I'm going to give you scripture, and I'm going to show you what the Word says about it. And you say, well, we know. You're going to hear it again, because it's what the Lord gave me to share with you. I was really debating with the Lord this morning. I said, Lord, I have another sermon I just really love to preach. And I sit down, and I've been up since 5 o'clock. And after I finished studying this morning, I went back to the other one. I said, Lord, can I do that? And he says, no. You go back, you go on unforgiveness. So we're going to start. We're going to start with Matthew chapter 6. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your mercy and your grace, because your word says your mercies are new every morning. And so, Father, we just thank you today for your mercy and your love, that you love us so much that you sent Jesus to die upon the cross for us. We give you praise, honor, and glory this morning, Father, for all that you've given unto us. And Lord, we thank you for the written word, the living word. And Lord, let us hide the word in our hearts, that we won't sin against you, that we'll be obedient to your word, Father, because your word says that we're to bless. You said we're blessed if we keep your commandments. And Father, you didn't say that over in the early part of the word. You said it in the very last chapter of your Bible. Blessed is the man that will do the word and keep the commandments. And we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And in Matthew's gospel in chapter 6, I'll tell you this before I start. I went through a healing just recently. The Lord healed me from something. And while I was going through torment with it, with the pain, the Lord took me back to even when I was a child and showed me things I needed to ask forgiveness for and he showed me things that I thought I had taken care of. And as I would repent, see, a lot of times we say we forgive, but we don't repent of having held unforgiveness. We need to repent of holding unforgiveness against anyone, especially against God. You having unforgiveness against God today? I didn't think I did either, but he has shown me, and when I repented, as I went through deliverance, the healing of the thing that happened to me, and I got rid of some of the pain through deliverance, because the Word says that everything that has a name will bow to the name of Jesus, and pain is a name. I didn't get it overnight. And when you don't get healed overnight, you say, Lord, I know your word's true. Why did I miss you? See, I knew the word was true. God had been healing me for years. And I said, I don't understand, Lord, why it's taken so long for it to manifest in my body. I missed the pastor's conference. I was supposed to come and teach and have a class, and I couldn't come. I was in so much pain, I couldn't get here. So I look at people and they say, well, I've forgiven everybody living or dead. And I said, that's good. That sounds good. But if the Lord shows you something, you take care of it.
Right.
Amen? Okay. Look at Matthew 6, chapter 6 and verse 10. This is the model prayer that Jesus gave. And he said in verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I'll stop at there and say, I always say, Lord, the only earth I have any control over is this, the one I live in. And I want his kingdom to come in this earth. He said, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, we pray that. There's a model prayer. But I looked up that word forgive in the concordance. Then I went to Webster and looked it up. And in the Greek, it says to forsake, to leave, to send away, omit, remit, yield it up, give it up, pardon, spare, forgive. And then Webster says to pardon one's enemies, cease from resentment against an offender. And so he tells us to forgive our debtors. Did you ever look up the word debt? You know what a debt is. If you owe someone money or something, or buy something on credit and you owe it, that's a debt. But the Greek says something owed, to be guilty, indebted, transgressions. So he forgave us. Jesus forgave us everything. He forgave us all of our debts. And so we have no right to hold anything against anyone. And we won't, if we want to keep walk where the brother was teaching us, talking to us last night about. And let me share this with you as before I go any further with this. We have all against a lot of people that we won't, and especially our own family, that we don't want to believe. And let me tell you, just one person that you have anything against will stop you, will be an open door for the enemy to attack you. You know, the word says over in Proverbs that a curse can't causeless come. In other words, it says there's got to be a reason for you to be cursed by or have problems hit you. And so unforgiveness is a door opener. Okay, y'all look at me like, where's she going? Just hang in there. We're going to go all the way through. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 18. Now, I'm going to give it to you just exactly like the Lord gave it to me. In chapter 18 and verse 21, I've marked up my Bible so bad sometimes I can't even find the chapters in here. He said, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, in verse 21, he said, and how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times. And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto these until seven times, but unto 70 times seven. You count that up. You say, well, that's a lot of times. Think about this, in one day. He didn't say one day, but if your brother sins against you 70 times in one day, you're to forgive him. 70 times seven, 490 times a day. In other words, we're just supposed to walk in forgiveness. And as the brother was talking about last night, I thought about it. I was telling Vern just now, I said, you know, what he's really saying, I have a son that says this all the time, a dead man doesn't have any problems, doesn't feel anything. You can't hurt me if I'm dead. But the problem is we're not dead yet. So we have to walk in an attitude of forgiving. I have a friend in town that where I came from in Memphis. She says, I'm trying not to be offended at what they said to me, trying not to take offense. And I thought that was a good example of not letting what we need to do is to learn to not to be offended when somebody hurts us or wounds us or does something to us. that we don't like. Many times I find the things that people do to me that I don't like is something I've already done to someone else and haven't recognized that I did it until I see it happen to me. And the Lord uses it if we'll look at it. I told my church, I said, the problem is we're always looking at the other person saying this fits them and this fits that one and that one and that one, but it doesn't fit me. But what we need to do is say, Lord, you're talking to me.
Right.
So, okay, let's go on. Let's go back. Let's go to James chapter 2. In chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, for he shall have judgment without mercy that has shown no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. In other words, if we don't have show mercy to those that have come against us or offended us or caused us to hold on, have unforgiveness against them, then God says that we'll be judged. And we need to extend mercy to those that offend us, as we want God to extend his mercy to us. Do you ever get up of a morning and say, Lord, I thank you for your mercy every morning. His mercies are new every morning, and his grace. I live by myself, and I live out in the boondocks, literally. I'm paying city taxes, but I'm in the country. And when you're by yourself, God can really talk to you, and he can show you yourself. It's not a very pretty picture most of the time. And you want to run hide, but you know the word says there's no place we can go to hide from him. Okay, let's go back over to Matthew chapter 6. You know what the Lord told me, the reason he wanted me to do this, and I'm going to share it with you. He said if those that came for deliverance, that want deliverance, need to take care of all the unforgiveness so they can receive it. And while I'm talking to you this morning, sharing scripture with you, I believe in God's going to show you things that you need to take care of. Really repent of unforgiveness and hurts and offenses so that there'll be nothing that the enemy can hold on to when we get into deliverance so you can receive deliverance. Did anybody come to receive deliverance? Praise the Lord. I'm prepared. Setting up so when we get upstairs to the ladies' conference room, we can really do deliverance, have deliverance. But we will probably have some down here if I get through in time.
Avoid the rush.
I'm not rushing. Lord's teaching me. In verse 14 of Matthew 6, he said, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." If we don't forgive, God won't forgive us. Amen? Am I quiet in here? Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go on. In Psalms 103, let's go over and look at that scripture. As I said, you know all these, but I want you to look at them with me this morning. Psalms 103, verse 1, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." You know that if you've got unforgiveness or bitterness in your heart, did you know that you can't bless the Lord? There's a spirit of heaviness over this place, and I rebuke it in the name of Jesus and command it to depart and be gone in Jesus' name. Satan, you have no part in the lot here, and I command you get your hands off of God's people. Depart, be gone in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of heaviness, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. He said, "Bless." A psalmist David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." When we begin to think of the benefits of God, then it's not hard for us to forgive. And I know that we say we forgive, as I said at the beginning, we say we forgive, but a lot of times we forgive with, "But I'm going to remember it. I'm not going to forget it." Do you know if you're going to continue remembering you hadn't forgiven? Because when God forgave us our sins, he said he remembered them no more. And that's the way we're to forgive our brother. We're to forgive them and to loosen unto God. Did you know that as long as you hold unforgiveness against anyone, that you're binding yourself to them?
Right.
And you're binding the hand of God, that God can't work in you nor them. I have people say, "Well, I've had girls when I go to minister to them. Well, I'm not going to forgive them for what they did to me." And they said, "I can't. You don't know what they did to me." And I said, "Well, what did God do for you?" He forgave everything you ever did when you asked him to. And that's the way you've got to forgive. You've got to release them. You've got to forgive them. And I don't mean lip service. You've got to say, Lord, I forgive them just like you've forgiven me, and I ask you to bless them. You know what? If you pray God bless them, and if they don't receive the blessing will return to you. Do you know that? It will. And just think, if they won't receive it when you ask the Lord to bless them, well, then that blessing can come back upon you. Don't we need blessings from the Lord? He said in verse 3, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Do you think maybe this unforgiveness has a lot to do with sickness? It does. It really does. It stops us from being healed. You know, I'm more and more believing that if we don't obey the commandments of God, we stop the healing process. I mean, every one of them. Revelation 22, verse 13, 14 talks about, it said, blessed is the man that do the commandments. And God commanded us. He gave us the commandments so it would show us the sins in our lives. And a lot of people think, well, I'm under grace and I don't have to be concerned about those commandments. But we do. We do. That's God's word. I haven't found anywhere where he said that we don't have to obey them. We're not under the law, but the law brought us to Jesus, and it also shows us our sins. He says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction and crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. That's what I want. I claim that one. I said, Lord, you know, inside of me there's a young woman, you know, let's see, about 30-something years old inside of me when I first came to the Lord, about 35 years ago. So I say, Lord, you have to renew this body so it can keep up with that spirit person inside of me. Right. He said the spirit man is renewed day by day. So I just said, now, Lord, do something in this body so I can keep up with it.
Right.
Amen. Right. So it's a promise of God. If we obey his word, if we forgive and walk in his word, he said he'd renew our strength. He also says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So we need to claim the promises of God as our own and walk in them. You say, well, I do. Well, let's get with it. Let's speak them aloud. You know that the word says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And I always tell my church, you believe more what you say than what I'm saying. So you take the word and you read it aloud. Let your ears hear it. And then it'll get in your spirit and you'll begin to believe it.
Right.
Have a lady sitting in my church, been in there 14 years at least. And she says, she'll look at me sometime, I just don't know if I'm saved or not. I was listening to Brother last night and I thought about that. And yet the Lord will speak to her and tell her things, and she'll share it, and she still has doubt that she's saved. Oh, I can't read the word, she says, because I don't understand it. I said, you don't understand it because you don't read it. And if you know, the Lord said, ask. And I said, sit down and start reading the word and say, Lord, talk to me. This word is written to you and to me. I sit down and say, Lord, what are you going to say to me today? What have you got for me today? And reveal it to me. I asked the Lord to open my spiritual ears and eyes. I prayed prayer, the word for years, and asked the Lord to open the word so I could understand it. And receive it. And so this is what when God shows you something in the area of your life that you haven't taken care of in the area of unforgiveness, you need to repent of it and speak aloud. So let your ears hear, let the devil hear it, so he can't whip you with it and beat you over the head with it. And he will. I found it in the scripture where the word says that your enemies will come and torment you. And who's your enemy? The devil. We're not warring against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world. We're fighting the enemy. I get off on deliverance in a minute before I get to it. I am a deliverance teacher. That's what we do in our church. We're listed as a deliverance church. Praise the Lord. Let's go on. Let's go to Mark chapter 11. And you know this scripture, but let's look at it. In Mark chapter 11, verse 23, says, "For verily I," Jesus is talking here, and he says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." The Lord's had me lately going back over what people say, what we say. We need to be very careful what we say, because we curse ourselves with our mouth.
That's right. Yep.
And God's saying, you can have what you say. Are you getting what you say? I'll show you. Job did that. He got exactly what he said. You see, he tells us, he said, speak. He says, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father which also is in heaven, your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you your trespasses. He said, first of all, he said, when you're praying, I'm going to stop right here and I'll do this. I can't help it. When you're praying for people, don't pray there's problems. Pray the answer. Lord, help sister so-and-so. She's dying with so-and-so. You just loose death on her. Did you know that's what my son got off of me, was death of words when I was going through all that? He did deliverance for me over the telephone. He lives in Little Rock, and I live in Tennessee, on the other side of Memphis. And he would call me twice to three times a day and do deliverance on me. And he was getting words off of me because of what I was going through. People were praying for me, and some were praying right, and I praise the Lord for those. But there were others that were believing I lost my husband 2 years ago, so they kind of, I probably figured I was ready to go home too. But I wasn't. I'm not. So the Lord's ready for me. No devil's going to send me there if I can help it. So we need to be careful what we pray, and we need, when we pray for people that we have ought against and want to forgive them, need to forgive them, we need to say, Lord, I release them unto you, and I ask you to bless them and to just pour out your blessings upon them. And if they're not saved, Lord, I pray the word. Lord, your word said it's not your will that any should perish, but all should come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. And so we pray the word for them, and we lose salvation. And I always say, Lord, the spirit where they may cry, Abba, Father. But you know, a lot of people that have been hurt and unforgiveness brings bitterness and resentment, and it wounds the spirit, and it hardens the heart. Did you know it can harden your heart if you don't forgive? And when a person has a hardened heart, they want to see retaliation on the person that hurt them. And we don't want to do that. We need to lose God's love, the agape love of God upon them. But he said, Jesus is saying here, if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So we are commanded to forgive. We have to forgive. God tells us that if we want to be forgiven, we've got to forgive. Had a lady tell me one time, she called me and she says, I want to know how to, she had somebody that has hurt her, and she was saying, I've forgiven them. But then she began to tell me what all she thought about them. And so I stopped her and I said, let me ask you something. I said, how did Jesus forgive you? I've already said this, I'm going to say it again. She said, well, he forgave everything and said he remembered my sins no more. And I said, well, that's the way we've got to forgive. And if that keeps coming back to you, then you need to cast down imagination. If you've truly forgiven, you need to cast down imaginations and all the thoughts that would exalt itself against the Word of God. And see, we're in a war, even in the area of forgiveness. We're in a war in every area of our life, from the beginning of the book to the end. We're in a war. God didn't save us and say, sit down and wait for me to come. He said, He saved us, and he said, get busy about the Father's business.
Right.
And so to do that, we've got to fight the enemy. Did you know that the enemy will do his best to keep you from walking in victory? He'll keep you from doing the things that God wants you to do. He'll talk to you and tell you you can't do it. I always tell the devil when he tells me that, just hide and watch. I'm 74 years old. And I'm still wearing high heel shoes, and people look at me and say, sometimes say, well, what are you doing? What you old? Not yet. I got a long ways to go yet. Praise the Lord. But anyways, we can't let him do it to us, people. We've got to do battle. We've got to stand and be who we are. You know, we need to know who we are in Christ Jesus. We need to know that we're seated at the Father's right hand in heavenly places in him. And that our authority, he's given us authority, that it comes from the throne room. Positionally, you and I are seated. If you know Jesus Christ, you're seated in heavenly places. And we have authority. The devil is under our feet. Ephesians 1 through 17 through 23 tells us what God's given us and said that Jesus overcame and put him under his feet. We're in his body. That makes him under our feet. We're in him. He's seated at the Father's right hand. We're in him, and that's where we are. That's where our authority comes from, and that's where we fight the devil.
Right.
And we don't let him walk over us. But you know what? We get in fear. Fear is facing the devil. Did you know that?
Right.
It's believing the devil will do what he said he'd do. Why can't we believe that about God? You say, well, I do. No! If we did, we'd be out getting the world saved, getting them turned on to the Lord. We'd get the world healed. No, we don't have that kind of faith. We want it. But if we need to get our hearts cleaned out, you say, well, I've got my heart cleaned. Praise God. Then you should be walking in the power and authority that God's given you. Over in Luke 10:19, Jesus said, behold, I give you power over all the devil. Power. That's authority over all the devil's power. And nothing shall by any means harm you. He's given us authority to go out into the world. And Paul says you may be the only epistle that somebody reads. So what are they reading? Y'all don't mind if I take a few rabbit shots to you. I load my gun and just go every direction. You know, God wants us to be overcomers. And to be overcomers, we've got to walk in the power and authority of his word. And to do that, we've got to get rid of all the garbage that's in us. The brother was talking about last night about someone telling him all this, his mother, all that gossip. You know what I say when people come to me with that? My spirit is not a garbage dump. And I don't want you dumping your garbage in it. To overcome it. Can't let it go in there. The enemy will bring it forth and keep reminding you of all of it, okay? Okay, let's go over to Colossians. I can't find me a Bible like I like, and so I go dig my old ones back out, and I can't read them half the time. Their pages are stuck together. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Well, Yeah, that's where I'll start. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectionist. He says to put on vows of mercy and love. In other words, we're to put on Jesus and to walk in love. And I know that we try. I'm saying try because the enemy knows what button to push to make you get angry. If you don't believe it, watch yourself sometimes. And anger will open the door. You know, Paul said, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. And anger is one of the things that stops the Holy Spirit. You've got to, because if you keep reading, it says it grieves him. And when the Holy Spirit's grieved, he doesn't talk to us. So you go back and you repent of what you did. And you know, when the Holy Spirit tells you something and you don't do it, when the Lord tells you something and you don't do it, you're going to have to go back and repent of disobeying him before he'll talk to you again. You wonder why the Lord is so quiet. You need to check up. See where you meant, what you did. Now, I said at the beginning that when we don't forgive, that we bind people to us. Go to Acts chapter 7. Stephen, when they were stoning him to death, in verse 59, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He forgave them. He said, Lord, don't let what they're doing destroy them. Lay not this sin to them. And when I was reading this, the Lord gave me a scripture over in John. Go to John chapter 20, verse 23. He said, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. And when you look at that, it binds that retain is binding. It binds this sin to them, and it binds you to them. You say, well, how do we remit someone else's sins? We forgive them. I have, in deliverance, and I'll say this, when I've ministering deliverance to someone, and sometimes the spirits in them talk to me and say, I'll have to come out because they haven't forgiven, or something like that, and so we bring them back and call them back and get them to repent. But a lot of times, I just say, Lord, I remit their sins until they can come before you and confess their sins. And do you know that we get spirits out of them by doing that? Because Jesus said, whosoever sins you remit are remitted. We say, Lord, we stand in the gap for them. What about over in Leviticus 26 and verse 43 says that the sins of the fathers and the iniquities and sins of the fathers have to be confessed. The forefathers, and we confess our sins also. Well, how do you confess your forefathers' sins if they're already gone? So God's given us the ability to confess their sins and ask God to forgive the sins that brought the curses upon us. You understand? Am I confusing you? Just hang in there. I may do it a little bit more. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go to Luke chapter 23. Let me see what verse I want. Verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was asking God to forgive us as he took all the sins upon himself. He remitted. He was forgiven, asking the Lord, asking God not to hold us accountable for that. He took our sins upon the cross of Calvary. So how can we hang on to any unforgiveness against anyone? He's already prayed and said, Father, forgive them. You need to forgive people and ask God to forgive them also. When you forgive them, ask God to forgive them. Turn them loose. Now, I'm going to get to the scripture that says if a brother is offended at you, what God wants you to do in just a minute. Let's go to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse 12. Let's go with verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So if the enemy can keep us from forgiving or just walking in resentment or bitterness, he wins. You see, it's a warfare that we're walking in, and we've got to keep up to date, minute by minute, communion with the Lord. Driving down the road, somebody starts out in front of you in the car. Coming over here, I had one come from one lane, go over across, and I looked behind me, wasn't the thing behind me, and I thought, why didn't they wait for me to get out of the way? Right. And I said, Lord, protect them and everybody else from them, and I forgive them. Because the enemy will do things like that. I got to tell this. I was coming out of Memphis, coming into Memphis, fixing to get on to the interstate to come across the Mississippi River. And from nowhere, a black cat scooted across in front of me. And I thought, oh, I break every curse. I'm one that goes to breaking curses the minute I think of one. You know, I break every curse from anybody sending in, listening thing on me, and I won't receive any of this in the name of Jesus. And I said, Father, just keep that cat from everyone else. He said, you're really weird. You don't know the half of it. And I said, Lord, send your angels ahead of me and let them break and destroy any trap the devil has laid for me, that no weapon formed against me will prosper. And I started praying in tongues, and then the Lord gave me another scripture, and I'd pray. He said, why? Because of witchcraft and the occult, and cats are used in that. I got a lady that's next door to me, has 11 cats in her house. Can't even lie outside. Praise the Lord. Anyways, I don't know why I told that. She invited me over to eat. I said, I just had dinner. And I had. And the thoughts of going in to eat where animals are all over the place is beyond me. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5, okay? I hope I'm not boring you all. I haven't really started preaching at you yet. I'm trying to be nice. It's all his Bruce's fault. He came at me before he came talk to me. Just wait. I'm warming them up. Praise the Lord. Chapter 5 and verse 21. Better get the right chapter. You have heard that it was said by them of old times, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar there, and remembrance that thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first to be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. That says if your brother has aught against you, and you know it, before you bring your gift, what's your gift? It's your offering to the Lord, your tithes and offerings and your gifts that you give to God. Before you can believe for God to do for you, to bless you, you've got to make things right with your brother. It says you go to your brother. Did you ever have God do that to you? I did. Years ago, I had to call a lady up and tell her I was sorry for something I had done and that I knew I had offended her. And right today, if I know I offend someone, I go back and ask them to forgive me. You say, well, that's you doing it. But you see, a lot of times we offend and we don't notice it, and God will show us, and then that person will take offense at us, and we need to go make it right. And, you know, it's the hardest thing in the world sometimes for people to say, I'm wrong. You can't be right all the time. You're not God. We sometimes act like we never do anything wrong. I'm going into judgment. We got scripture on judgment. We're not to judge. With what we judge others with, we'll be judged. But he said, leave your gift at the altar and go and make it right. Now go to Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as life in you, live peacefully with all men. Dear beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place and to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him, and if he thirst, give him drink, for he, in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, sometimes when we go to someone that we have offended, they have offense against us, they may be turned away from the Lord. And our going to them may be, there will be what God can use to show them his love and his mercy. You know, we need to remember that the world watches us. I've had people, I used to, when I was in, I came out of the Baptist church, and when I was in the Baptist church, we used to go visit on this station lot, and when I'd go into, my husband always went to, we didn't go to talk about the church, we went to talk about Jesus, and sometimes we wouldn't tell them what church was from. And they wouldn't let us in until eventually we told them we were from the Baptist church, and they'd let us in. And then they'd say, well, we wouldn't come to your church at all because we know so-and-so that goes to that church. Now, you see, that's a stumbling block. This person, that regardless of what the problem was, whether it was imaginary or what, but that became a stumbling block to keep them from coming in to the church, maybe to find the Lord. And that's what God is saying to us. We need to be ever aware of who we represent. That we need to know that we're representing Jesus Christ. Live the way He tells us to live. When we do this, when we keep short accounts and take care of everything and walk the best that we can, I always tell the Lord, Lord, you know me. I always tell the Lord this one, when He's talking to me, I said, you know me, you know how to talk to me where I can hear you and understand. And you know that I want to obey you and to serve you and to follow you, but I can't do it. You've got to do it through me. And when I mess up, I say it. And I tell my church. And I'm not like, I don't, they know me. Let's put it that way. I can only be who I am, and I am human, and you're human, and we messed up, and God wants us to take care of it, and that's what I'm trying to say this morning, that we need to get rid of all the unforgiveness, all the bitterness and resentment. Anybody here have problems with arthritis? Don't raise your hand, but arthritis comes from bitterness and hatred and murder, and unforgiveness can I read that scripture a while ago, I think it's in Colossians, it said that murder and all of this, and hatred and all of this can come with unforgiveness. We get so bitter at people. When my husband died, I've told this before, but I'll tell it again. I hurt so bad that I was angry at God. I'd been married 55 years, and when he died, it was just like I was ripped apart. And I couldn't understand. And I really had to guard against bitterness because I look around at my friends and people I knew, and some of them living like the devil, and they were just going on. And my husband and I had been serving the Lord, and I said, God, I don't understand. At first I asked why, and then I got to the point when I said, Lord, you're God. You know all things, and I know you know. So what I'm asking you to do is to help me go on. And you know what he said to me? Those looking back, putting their hand to the plow. And I thought, oh, my. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I still grieve for my husband. I feel lonely for my husband. But God gave us a period of grieving, and then he told us to go on. And so we have to go on. And it hurts. His birthday, for instance, this past week was a hard day for me. But I had to go before the Lord and say, Father, forgive me for being angry with you. Forgive me for accusing. And then I had to forgive myself. See, we have to forgive ourselves, too. And that's the hardest person it is for us to forgive is ourselves. Because you look in the mirror and then the old accusing thing comes right back at you, you know. Who do you think? And let me tell you, the accuser of the brethren really works hard when you're alone. That's why you need to be busy. You don't need to be sitting twiddling your thumbs. Because if you're sitting home and the accuser of the brethren will bring you every thought that he can to try to bind you and destroy you. He's trying to work death on you. He is the accuser of the brethren, and he knows all about you. But thank God we know him, and we know his tactics, and we know how to defeat him. We know the authority and power we have to defeat him. As I tell my church, use it. Don't call me to do it. You knew it. My church will call me to pray. I said, you pray, I'll agree with you. You pray something I can agree with. One lady used to call me and say, I got a pain. I said, I have too. She was my pain. And I said to her, you've been sitting under my ministry for years, and I am sick and tired of you calling me to pray for you. I said, now, if you want me to agree with you, if you'll pray, the word will agree with you. But I said, what you're trying to do is to steal everything I've taught you. And I'm not going to let you steal what I believe. If you ever walk in it, that's your problem. God told me, he said, you go preach. He said, you tell them. And he said, they won't believe you. And I said, thank you, Lord. They won't believe you. Go to my people, he said, and tell them. And he said, but their blood won't be on your hands. He said, you tell them like it is. And I said, but Lord, they won't hear. I said, look at the church. And the brother said something to me last night. He was referencing me last night. That my church is small. I'm not telling you how small it is. But God's whipping them into, not me. I've been trying for years to do it, you know, preaching the word to them. I told them they're gospel hardened. I said, you don't hear anything. One lady, I've been preaching something on healing to her and healing to preaching. She comes into the church and she was so excited, I wanted to hit her. She said, I got to tell you this. So-and-so just preached this and I'm telling you, it just blessed me. I've been preaching this for years and she had heard me. So that, I said, well, Lord, help me become a better teacher. I can't, evidently, I'm not doing too good. But the Lord showed me that when he called me, he said, we're to go and tell them. Now, if you have a neighbor or people around you, you're not telling them, then God will hold us accountable. You tell them about Jesus. You tell them he doesn't want them to be sick. He doesn't want them to be poor. He doesn't want them to go to hell. He wants them to come to him. You can tell them by the way you live. That's why I'm saying that you have to. We have to be an epistle that others read. They, I don't believe in Halloween. I don't believe in Christmas. And I get on that. If Glenn don't, I'll get on it for a week so, because God's given me scripture on it. But the thing is, my neighbor said, her little girl said, I'm coming over Halloween. I said, honey, I don't do Halloween. She said, you don't do it. I said, no, that's not of God. Her mother says, I know all about that. And I thought, and you let your child do this, and you got, oh my. But anyway, and then she said, I said, and I don't do Christmas. And she said, what do you mean? I thought you were Christian. I said, I am. I said, you know, my Lord is already resurrected, born, gone, and resurrected. And I said, I worship him every day. I said, he's Lord of my life and every day, not just Christmas. He said, you're hard. You know, you have to be when it comes to someone taking what you believe. You've got to stand up. If you don't say anything about it, do you know they think you're in agreement with them? You watch. Somebody come up and talk to you about a bunch of stuff, and you don't say anything, and yet inside of you, you just turn into say, and you don't. They think you're in agreement with them. Well, they know me now. I'm the strange woman that lives on the corner that raises roses. And if you come over, she'll pray for you. And they do. The very lady that knew about Halloween had spent, I spent two afternoons, about 5 hours each afternoon, praying for her and giving her scripture. Hadn't seen her in the last 2 months. After the last meeting, I hadn't seen her. I don't even know if she's still home. I see her house. I feel, you know, I don't know where she is. But she came over and knocked on my door. But she'd been coming over when I was in the yard, and I shared just being me. She's talking about sickness. I said, I don't go to doctors. I said, honey, I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on Jesus. He's been my doctor since 1972. And she looked at me. She said, she was diabetic. She's heart problems. She's got all kinds of problems. Mostly, she's real depressed. And I told her, I said, you know, Jesus will take away all of that. I said, I came through all of that. My husband used to say I was in hospital so much that I owned half the hospital. But God kept me alive until he taught me how to take his word. And so people don't want to hear that when I say that, and they get mad at me about it. And I said, hon, I'm not telling you not to do what you do. I'm telling you there's a better way. And God has been my doctor for so long that I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on him. And that's what I was saying. And I'll go back to the minute. I said to him when I was in such pain, I said, Lord, I don't understand. Because you've healed me for 30 years. What is wrong now? That's why I said unforgiveness has got to be taken care of, people. Not thinking you've done it, do it. And take it one by one and confess it to the Lord. Repent of it. See, a lot of times we don't repent of, well, I'm sorry, Lord. Well, that went over real big. I walked a circle in my house from one room to another, praying and talking to the Lord, and he was talking to me. But he healed me. It took a whole month, and it wasn't pleasant. And the devil said, you're going to die. Let me tell this, since I got onto this, and I'm not listening to me. Don't, for God's sake, don't think so. But the thing was, I got in fear at the very beginning. And I was going to share this upstairs, and I'm probably, well, whatever. When the pain hit me, it was so awful that it just, from nowhere, it hit. I mean, I didn't know what it was or anything, and the devil says, you're going to die. I mean, I heard that over and over again. And being by myself, see, normally my husband would be with me, and he'd say, honey, you're going to be okay. He never even tried to get me to go to the doctor. He'd say, I know you're stubborn as a mule. I said, yep, when it comes to what God's word says. And he kept telling me, I could hear Jim telling me as I was walking for, you're going to be all right. That's what he told me when we talked about him leaving. But the devil put fear on me, and I had to repent of the fear. See, fear is what gets in, fear of death. But the death itself wasn't fearful to me. It was being alone and dying, and nobody knew I was dead. So the Lord asked me the other day, he says, what difference does it make whether they know you're dead or not? I said, yes, yes. And so now, and see, nobody can get in my house. I won't give anybody a key to my house. So I thought, if they don't see me, they can break in the door. But, you know, that's what stopped it. And I think fear stops us so many times with everything that God's given us, afraid it won't work. But when I got in fear, I had to repent of the fear. And then I said, oh, Lord, but I got to get relief from this pain. I'm not kidding. It was horrible. I didn't go to bed for 4 weeks. I did not sleep in my bed for 4 weeks. What little sleep I got was during daytime when I could get a little bit of relief. But the thing is, God healed me. He delivered me through deliverance and quote in Scripture. God healed it. I take His word as medicine, and we do that with everything. And He's telling us to forgive. And I went back through all of what I'm telling you about. This is why I'm wanting to tell you that unforgiveness stops it. The unforgiveness stops everything we want from the Lord. What things that He's given us and the extent it works in our lives if we don't forgive. And I had to forgive my kids, my grandchildren. I've got 4 kids, 9 grandchildren, and 3 great-grandchildren. And I live alone. None of them are close to me. And I was resentful of that. Did anybody feel that way? Just me? I felt deserted. And I had to forgive. And when I did, let me tell you, God freed me from all of them. All of them. Not just some of them, but all of them. And I said, Lord, now that you got me free, give me the boldness to get in that car and go where I want to go, when I want to go, without being concerned. But you know, let me tell you this. I'm talking about me, but I don't have anything else to tell you but about me. That's terrible. But my friends, and I love them, around me, have tried to put fear on me about going off in my car. And I've had to break curses that they've spoken on me. And since God freed me from all that unforgiveness, I've been doing all the things they tell me not to do. They said, you're in rebellion. I said, yes, against everything you say. I told my daughter and my son, I said, I'm sick and tired of y'all trying to mother me. I said, I'm 74 years old, and I made it this long. I'm a sound mind, I think. I have the mind of Christ. And I said, I do not need you all being my mother and father. So when we forgive, though, we get free. That's what that my whole thing is. And God says we've got to forgive. And then let's go over to judging. Matthew 7. In chapter 1, we judge, and we don't call ourselves doing it, but we do. In chapter 7, verse 1, he said, judge not. Jesus said, judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that's in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out that mote out of thine eye, and behold, the beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shall thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. You see, if you're walking around with unforgiveness in you, it's hard to see clearly for God to show you what you need to pray for someone else. Jesus said, if you've got a splinter in your eye, how can you pull a beam out of someone else? John there's another scripture that talks about that. And, the thing I'm see is that we need to be sure that our heart's right. Okay? Let's go to Romans chapter 2. Just about through, we're going to do some deliverance for those that want it on unforgiveness. Chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after the hardness and impotent heart, treasure up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. You know, that's scary when you stop and think about it. He says he'll render to every man his deeds, so we need to get rid of everything that is offensive to God. We walk sometimes like we don't have to be concerned about ourselves. Pride will stop us from seeing and judging ourselves the way God wants us to judge ourselves. In Galatians 6:7, I'm not going to go there, says that, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever we sow, that shall we also reap. But I do want to go to Matthew 18, and then we're going to do deliverance. Matthew 18. I can't do deliverance, can I, sir? Brother Glenn, can I do deliverance this morning? Okay, just want to be sure I'm doing right. Don't want to do anything wrong. Matthew 18, verse 32. Wait a minute, let me find 18. Well, let's go 34. This is talking about the man that God forgave many things, and then when his servant came to him, he had him thrown in jail. And verse 34 says, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall that my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from the heart forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. God said if we don't forgive, he'll turn us over to the tormentors. And the tormentors are what? The spirits. It's demonic the demons that come against us. I want to leave us in a prayer of renunciation, a forgiveness prayer. And if you will, pray with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I have a confession to make. I have not loved, but resented a certain people, and have unforgiveness in my heart. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I do now forgive. And you know who they are, all people living or dead, who have disappointed me, who have hurt me, offended me, or wounded me in any way. Also, I forgive my parents, my children, the church, who has hurt me. And Father, I release all these people in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you to forgive all of them too. In addition, I forgive myself for my sins and shortcomings, and ask you to heal my wounded spirit. In Jesus' name. You see, we get hurt and our spirit man gets wounded, and the oil of the Holy Ghost can bring healing to every part of our spirit. And I always pray when I'm praying for the oil that ran down Aaron's beard. I say, Lord, let the oil that ran down Aaron's beard put it from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, or whoever I'm praying for, and let it minister healing to all the hurts and all the wounds in the heart. So in the name of Jesus now, if you'll put your feet on the floor, and if you've forgiven, I'm going to start calling spirits out, okay? In the name of Jesus Christ, Father, I bind principalities and powers and rules of darkness over this church, and I bind straw men in each one. I ask, Father, that you station angels around enough to protect and to cleanse the church of the spirits as they come out in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for the authority that's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the name of Jesus, I come against the spirit of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Loosen them and let them go. Let them go. Come on out of there in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn loose and let go. Unforgiveness in the name of Jesus. Loosen and let them go. Let them go. All the hurt and all the pain. Come on out of them. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn loose and let them go. Let them go. Anger, resentment, and bitterness. Turn loose and let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, listen and come out. Unbelief and doubt and fear. Listen and let go in Jesus' name. Turn loose and let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come on out there. Turn them loose. Spirits of rebellion, disobedience, pride, fear, pride. Come out of them. Let them go. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. All the unforgiveness. Unforgiveness against fathers and mothers. Come out. Come out right now. In Jesus' name. Turn loose. Turn loose and let them go. Unforgiveness against the children. Our children, come out of there. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Turn loose and come out of there. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. All the unforgiveness, all the hurt from childhood, from parents, in Jesus' name, come out. All the hurt, all those deep-rooted hurts, come out of there. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus Christ. Take a deep breath if you're not getting anything, and call them out. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Spirits of hurt, hate, root of bitterness. We come against bitterness. That root of bitterness. Come out of there. Turn loose and let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. If you've lost a loved one, we call out the hurt from death. In the name of Jesus, all the hurt from losing a loved one and the unforgiveness. Come out of there. Let them go. When my husband died, I felt like I'd been deserted, so I called that spirit of desertion out. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Let them go. Let them go. Turn them loose and let them go. In Jesus' name. Spirits of depression, violence, unlove, selfishness, doubt, disobedience. Come out of there. Frustration, stubbornness, stiff-necked. Come out of there. Let them go. Let them go. In the name of Jesus. Hardness of heart. The hardened heart. Strife. Insecurity. Come out of there. Turn them loose and let them go. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I call out the spirit of pride. In the name of Jesus, unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, rebellion, hurt, malice, resentment. Let them go. Come on. Let them go in the name of Jesus. Disappointment. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. Come on out. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the hard-hearted spirit, anger, fear, all fears. Fear, turn loose and let them go. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let them go. Loose them. Come out of there. Fear, hurt, and anger, depression, defeat. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Spirits of revenge, retaliation. I'll get even. Come out of there. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. Turn them loose and let them go in Jesus' name. Loosen them. Loosen them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, every name that has a name bows to the name of Jesus. I call out all the witchcraft. All the witchcraft. Come on out of there. Witchcraft control. Loosen them. Let them go in Jesus' name. Spirits of bitterness. All the control. Let them go. Turn them loose and let them go. Let them go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let them go. Let them go. Rebellion. Spirits of rebellion. Frustration. Vengeance. Envy. Insecurity, inferiority, let them go. Unforgiveness, all the unforgiveness. Take a real deep breath. Let's get rid of some of this. If you've not had a lot of deliverance from this, you really ought to get rid of it. In the name of Jesus, blow it out. When Irma was teaching, she'd always say, cough. Stir them up by coughing. So stir them up by coughing. Cough a little bit and stir those things up. Come on out there, all the unforgiveness, all the bitterness, resentment. In the name of Jesus, turn loose and let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. All the hurt, all the anger, frustration, resentment. Come on out of there. Let them go. Let them go. That root of bitterness. Come out of there in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Spirits of isolation. Let them go. Come loose. Let them go in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. In the name of Jesus, loosen. Turn them loose and come out of there. Let them go. Spirits of selfishness. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn them loose. Turn them loose and let them go. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I come against a heart problem. All heart problems. Heart attack, heart blockage. Can't think of that one. That heart just wears out. Congested heart failure. Come on out of there. Come on out of there. Let them go. Let them go. In the name of Jesus, spirits of death, come on out of there. Let them go. Death, loosen them. Loosen them and let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. Congested heart failure, heart blockage, heart attack, high blood pressure, let them go. I break every curse of unforgiveness over everyone here. I break it back to the sanctuary, back to the Garden of Eden. I break the curse that's on the bloodline that came upon you from the sins of your fathers. In the name of Jesus, and I call that curse out. Curse of unforgiveness that's blocking and holding unforgiveness. Come out of there. Come on out of there. Turn them loose and let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn them loose and come out of there. Every part of it. Come on out of there in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Every curse. Every curse in Jesus' name. I break soul ties. Evil soul ties. With anyone that you've had unforgiveness with that you can't get free from, and I ask the Father to restore your soul and call their soul out of you in Jesus' name of unforgiveness, where you can be healed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I'm a person that believes in breaking soul tie with everything. I do it for myself all the time, with everything. If pain, I broke soul tie with pain, sickness, disease, death. Death tried to come, and I run death off. In the name of Jesus, I broke a soul tie with death because of the death that had been in my house when my husband died. You see, we have authority, and we have to use it. Nothing comes to us just because we know about it. We can't walk in presumption. That's where most of us try to walk. We do a lot of it. We don't mean to, but we do. We walk in presumption instead of saying, I know this is mine and devil. You know, John... The scripture said John the Baptist said, I can't remember whose word it is right now, but said that the kingdom will be taken by force. You got to take it from the devil. Everything you've got, you got to take it from the devil by force. He isn't going to give it up just because you say, boof. I get so tickled at these people that do deliverance by boof. Now, so come up my church, do some booing, and let's see what happens. Praise the Lord. But you see, God has given it to us, and he's given us deliverance, and you can have deliverance if you want it. You make up your mind. Let me tell you something. If you go to deliverance meetings and you never get deliverance, you got to really commit yourself to receiving deliverance. Believe it. If you don't really believe it, you're just saying, well, maybe I don't have that or I don't have that. You know what? You don't know what you've got that came in through the sins of your father. And when you go in and sit into any meeting where they're going to do deliverance, if you say, I am going to get deliverance if nobody else. We had a lady in our church with 70-something. She came in one day and she says, I'm getting deliverance if I have to swing from the chandelier. And I thought, oops, we don't have one, But, you know, she did. My little granddaughter manifested her. And she was over there with her head in the bucket and just getting all kinds of deliverance by a five-year-old grandchild because that woman made a commitment and said, I'm going to receive deliverance. The word said, they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered.
Amen.
And when we believe that, then it comes forth. And you don't have to battle it. You get delivered because you believe it. You get what you believe God for. So, praise the Lord. Well, yes, I call out all of the diseases that came in through unforgiveness in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Turn loose and come out of there. Come out of there. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go. Turn them loose. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Loose them. Loose them and let them go. Let them go. Come on out of there. Come on out of there. Lord, come on out of there. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Praise the Lord. I missed the first word you said. Problems of the mind. I call out all mental problems. Oppression, mind control, mind wandering, mind binding in the name of Jesus. The spirit of mind control, I come against the mind control that works against the mind. That controls the mind. I break the power of it over everyone here in the name of Jesus. Let me share something with you about this. There's a lady in our church just recently. was having trouble with her mind. She couldn't say what she was thinking, and if she said it, it didn't come out right. And I was doing deliverance one Sunday morning in the church, and the Lord said, go and pray for her, and can I use you anoint her with oil? And then I want you to take the oil and cut her head like this and pull those spirits out. And I literally did. I ran my finger through her hair, and she said, told me later, she called me up, I guess it was the next day, and she said, God showed me when you were doing that, my mind said it was full of darkness. And as you pull those pieces out, light came in. And she said, my mind has been okay ever since then. God showed her. I obeyed the Lord when I was breaking what I was doing, was breaking the bands, the bonds, and the cords, and the snares around the mind. And when I broke that bondage off of her mind, she got free from it. And she was just rejoicing because her kids had been laughing at her because she'd go to say something and it wouldn't come out right. So God did a work there. So we break the bondage off the mind. I break the bondage of the hairs. I ask the Father to cut the threads, the hairs, the bands, the steel bands, the chains around the mind right now and free the mind in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Every part of it. We call out all that bondage, all the bondage, all the defilement, all the confusion, and all of the insanity and madness in the name of Jesus.
What really helped my mind was familiar spirit. And familiar spirits of other people who were praying wrong for them. God really was on my mind too.
Well, somebody probably teach on familiar spirits before the week's out, and we'll get under that. Okay? Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to close. I hope I haven't bored you. But let's walk in forgiveness and let's walk in love. And let's see God work. Amen. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the deliverance, Lord. I bind up everything that's left. I bind and break any retaliation or backlash from the enemy in the name of Jesus. Ask, Father, that you fill us now, afresh in it. Let's raise our hands and ask God to fill us. Fill us, Lord, with your presence. Fill us with the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of sound mind, power, love, and a sound mind, counsel, understanding. Father, fill us afresh and anew with your Spirit. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you for deliverance. We thank you for all that you've given unto us that pertain to life and godliness. And now, Father, we just thank you for all of this day and for that which will happen this afternoon and tonight as the word comes forth in Jesus' name. And now, Father, we just thank you for all that you've done in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.